Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Get up and get ready. It's a new week right here on the Early Line, Sirius XM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Network. Donnie Wrightside and Joe Ranieri over the next 3 hours. All the hottest topics. And when I mean the hottest topics, we got hit with some bangers this weekend to talk about. The U.S. Open, absolutely spectacular. Big time wins in the NBA. Unbelievable performances by veteran hockey players in the Stanley Cup. Big time trades that went down over the weekend that we certainly didn't anticipate. And I'm not just talking Major League Baseball. The NBA is still in season and making trades with 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 draft picks. It feels like included. Joe Ranieri, my goodness, for a Monday for you to be on the show, we got an action-packed 3 hours ready to go.
No shortage of topics here today, Donnie. And on this Monday, I all of a sudden feel much better about my golf game as well. So yeah. Let's roll.
Absolutely. And by the way, the U.S. Open, which like I like every once in a while, let's just say in Major League Baseball, Joe. Oh, man, that was a 1-0 game there. Great pitching performance. Not a lot of hits, but that was entertaining. We're an NBA game that plays defense. Man, that was interesting. 96-95 is a final score here. All right. And most people like higher scoring equations, like on the PGA Tour. What's routine, Joe? 10-under. 15 under, 20 under winning tournaments. That's not the design of the U.S. Open. And my goodness, J.J. Spawn held up the only player under par for the entirety of the tournament. That was him at -1. An unbelievable putt to clinch his first major championship. J.J. Spawn, after opening up with a 40 on the front nine on a Sunday. You're not even supposed to be in the top 10, top 20, or top 30. He wins the thing. J.J. Spawn, your U.S. Open champion.
You know who else was a champion? The sports books, because absolutely nobody played J.J. Spawn pre-tournament at 120 to 150. I can assure you of that. And most people faded him yesterday, Donnie, especially given the fact in matchups and other spots, nobody expected him to be close. And for 9 holes, they were right. The problem is everybody else was awful in this tournament. You liked it. I thought it was disgusting. That's not what it's supposed to be. You can't shoot 40 and hold up the U.S. Open trophy at the end of the day. I mean, that's just gross.
It makes people, Joe, go out on the weekend and be like, man, I saw so many bad shots from these pros. That's like, yeah, I hit it in the rough, so it's no big deal. But like the penalty, Joe, like hitting the fairway is hard enough any golf tournament that you have. But in the U.S. Open, it's like if you miss the fairway, that is a bogey. And if it's not, you chip out for like 15 yards down and it goes sideways into another bunker, into another trap at that point. I thoroughly enjoyed it because coming down the stretch, one of like 15 players going to win. Guys that finished at +4 were hanging around the clubhouse thinking they might have an actual chance to get into a playoff. The U.S. Open was absolutely wild this weekend, and J.J. Spawn comes away $4.3 million richer. Let's keep it moving here on the hot topics. Rafael Devers, out of nowhere, like a lightning bolt, Joe Ranieri, was traded. I'm like, wait a second. This is supposed to be one of your building blocks, a foundational player in your franchise that then you told in the offseason, hey, I don't want you playing your normal position. Can you learn a new one? How about if you don't play a position? How about if we put you in the outfield? How about if you're not happy and we trade you? And it happened last night. You got to be kidding me. Devers to the Giants. And for who, Joe?
I believe two candy bars and some bazooka gum, basically, is what they ended up getting for Rafael Devers. But Red Sox diehards will tell you they did get all of that money off the books, right? He's now the Giants' problem, but the issue is it's now the third homegrown Red Sox player that has been shipped off out west in some way, shape, or form by this team. So makes it very hard as a fan to get attached to any of these superstars that they bring up because they know they're not going to be there long term.
Look, Forbes has the Boston Red Sox third in line for the most valuable Major League Baseball franchise. It's time to start trimming the fat there. You got to start saving some money. They can't afford these players, Joe Neary. We got a lot more topics like that a little bit later to dip into. But also, here's one of my favorites. Pro Baseball Today, Joe. We do it right here every Sunday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. It's myself and Tom Vecchio. We bring the people the hottest topics right as fresh as they come across social media. And Bob Nightingale told us yesterday, hey, by the way, Ohtani ain't pitching until at least after the All-Star break. 24 hours later, Ohtani's going to pitch tonight. He's on the mound as an opener, Joe.
Okay. Listen, I hated this, Donnie. We've talked about this since he got hurt. And I had said, listen, I hope he never pitches again because I would much rather just see him a full-time hitter in Major League Baseball, and you'll get more bang for your buck that way. What effect will this have at the plate with him? And can the Dodgers ill afford him to have a step back in any way, shape, or form in order to throw him out of the mound? I hate it. I wish he'd pick a position and just stick with it, Donnie.
There you go. From being told he's not pitching for a few weeks out here, maybe to a month, to pitching the very next night against division rival San Diego Padres. Certainly, all eyes will be focused on that game, no doubt about it. How about the NBA? I didn't even know this was possible, Joe. Like, we're talking about, like, Kevin Durant trades, where he's going. I'm like, he can't even trade the guy until the offseason begins. That must not be the case here in the NBA. The Grizzlies trade Desmond Bane to the Magic in a blockbuster deal, which includes four unprotected first-round picks and one pick swap here. Other players included in there, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, as well as Cole Anthony. What is going on in Memphis, and what does this mean for Ja Morant?
Well, what is this? What is Kevin Durant worth if Desmond Bane is worth this? I'm just curious. I mean, well, you got to be kidding me here. But listen, on the outset, what are you going to do with all of those picks anyway, Magic? You needed shooting. You needed a guy like Bane on the court. It can't just be Paolo Banchero and Wagner. You need somebody else who can score. And what were you doing with the picks anyway? What are they worth if nobody hits, right? So at least you got somewhat of a proven commodity in Desmond Bane.
Yeah, we're going to love that. Like, oh, Orlando, they're going to rebuild their franchise here by getting the 25th, 24th, 26th, and 27th picks here over the next couple years in the first round, only to package five or six of those for a guy like Rudy Gobert. It always happens in the NBA. Boy, first-round picks are like gold in the NFL. In the NBA, just throw them in. Hey, we don't have a pick till 2035. So what? They don't mean anything at this point here. You want to talk about picks that aren't signed here and first-round picks giving you troubles of franchise? That's the Cincinnati Bengals. But how about this, Joe? On the horizon, the Bengals and Trey Hendrickson resume trade talks on a contract. You know what that probably sounds like? The Brown family calling up Hendrickson's agent. Is he willing to play under his current contract? Oh, no. There you go. That's the contract talks here. What are we thinking? Hendrickson could be coming back into the fold in Cincy.
Yeah, I think once again, the Cincinnati Bengals are one of the cheapest and worst run organizations in all of football. And the fact that they have guys and they're probably going to waste Joe Burrow's prime because they can't figure it out. Couldn't figure it out with the wide receivers. Can't figure it out with one of the best defensive ends in the game. I don't know what to tell you, Cincinnati. You are, you make your bed. Now you got to sleep in it here. I hope he goes someplace else. I really do.
Yep. Imagine not paying the guy who led the league in sacks and has about 35 sacks over the past two seasons. You know what? You're not worth a contract extension. It is what it is. How about in soccer? Joe, we're back. We're back. Did you see Team USA last night? 5-0 win over Trinidad and Tobago yesterday. Are we now World Cup favorites as we head down the stretch here? 5-0, Joe. You got to get excited by that, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I was very excited about that. The problem is, Donnie, we've seen this movie before. Once it actually matters, games that actually matter, they don't score 5 goals, Donnie. They usually lose 5-0. So until I see otherwise, I'm not buying it.
And how about this? An account online famous for doing this. Bang! Boring. And no, I'm not talking about Mike Breen. It's Angel Reese. Triple-double yesterday in the WNBA. The Sky, 78-66 over the Sun. The Dream, 89-56 over the Mystics. And how about the Mercury, 76-70 over the Vegas Aces, who now dropped a 5-5 on the season. Impactful WNBA. Welcome back also, Caitlin Clark. My goodness, what a performance.
So close to that triple-double, too, on her return. So that was impressive. Could the Fever run the table now with her back? Interesting.
The round mound of rebound and me-bound. Angel Reese out here kicking some butt with a triple-double out here in these streets.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hour number one in full effect right here on the early line, the Sports Grid Network. And my goodness, the topics from over the weekend, they are going to keep flowing all show long. And it starts with the U.S. Open. We previewed all last week on site, boots on the ground. Our guy Keith was there, Joe. And my goodness, it did not disappoint if you were expecting carnage, which meant all week long we were shown, like, why are there 50 guys out here, each with a lawnmower, trying to take down this rough here? Is it that serious? Is it that deep? We even saw guys walk up with a golf ball all over the course and just drop it in the rough, and the ball disappeared. You saw that all weekend long, which what the expectations were, yes, it was going to be tough. How many guys would finish under par? Where it turns out, Joe Ranieri, only one guy finished under par, and that was J.J. Spawn at a -1. And to finish under par, he had to drop a 60-plus foot putt on the final hole to clinch the U.S. Open. An amazing performance, as you see there. Final score, -1. Pre-tournament odds, 120-1. Pre-Sunday odds, +330-1. His first major title, and we heard it all week long. J.J. Spawn talking just a few short months ago, a year ago. Maybe I should give the sport up. I'm really struggling with this. He's the U.S. Open champion, Joe Ranieri.
Yeah, what is that? Tell you about the state of golf right now in the PGA Tour. Oh, please, Donnie. You do not get to be U.S. Open champion by shooting 40 on the front nine. Unless, of course, everybody else behind you is shooting 50, which is exactly what it felt like watching yesterday. This was Muni Golf at best. And I don't even I feel like I'm degrading Muni Golf watching that yesterday. And the sad part of all of this is that if Scottie Scheffler would have made a handful of putts throughout the week, he wins this thing by 8 strokes. It's not even remotely close. The days of Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson and domination by a handful of guys is long gone, Donnie. Now you get champions, U.S. Open champions, that shoot 40 on the front nine here on a Sunday. Unbelievable.
If I gave you the over-under, Joe, not on majors continuing to be won by J.J. Spawn, tournaments won by J.J. Spawn after winning the U.S. Open, I'll give you 2 full years on the PGA Tour. Does J.J. Spawn win a golf tournament, not a major, just a tournament over the next 2 years? What do you think?
I have some advice for J.J. Spawn. Take your check and your trophy and retire. And absolutely retire, because you will never live up to what you just won ever. So enjoy yourself. And listen, he's had a nice little run, right? He lost in the in a playoff to McIlroy at the Players.
Yeah,
I think he won one other tournament. I mean, come on, Dottie. This is a Hail Mary of all Hail Marys. Congratulations, J.J. Spawn. You still had to go out and win it. But that was gross, U.S. Open. Absolutely gross.
It's the People's Championship, which means anybody can rise to the occasion and take down a superstar icon and walk away with a big-time check at $4.3 million. Now, also, you saw that round yesterday. Coming down the stretch, the rains came in. You sat off the golf course for an hour and a half. It seemed like there was 15 people tied at plus one here. Spawn was the only one to be able to get over the hump, but I want to bring up this equation as well. Like, starting these tournaments, like, hey, Scottie Scheffler plus 220, and everybody else is 10-1 or behind him here. Like, Scottie Scheffler was still lurking on Sunday. And you're right. You're talking, we're not saying like, hey, Joe, boy, if he made some of those 25-foot putts, we would have been okay with Scheffler. He was missing routine putts left and right. When you figure this is the type of tournament, he just outgrinds everybody on a Sunday. Oh, he's five shots back. Yeah, but he's not going to make any mistakes. And everybody else will. Everybody was making mistakes, including Scheffler, who just couldn't get the flat stick together, but still had a chance coming down the stretch. But it was Spawn playing some good golf on 16, 17, and 18. And as you saw, that bomb putt on 18 to clinch it. No better feeling than that, because the shocking part was not that he wasn't going to win the tournament. Okay, he's going to lag putt here, just needs a two putt. Can anybody still catch him at this point? Drains that putt from a long way out. But you know what I also love about the U.S. Open and particularly other majors? He makes that, which means he won the tournament. Yep. The guy still had the putt out on the green, which was Victor Hovland. They still had a group behind him here. It was almost like anticlimactic, like, just leave the course. Can you imagine the NBA? Yeah. Hey, we won the game. It's like, hey, hold on. These two guards got to get their shots up here over the final 30 seconds. Let's wait for them here. But J.J. Spawn, champion, U.S. Open champion, over a pretty deep field here.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. They should have made Sam Burns and Adam Scott have to keep playing another 18 holes after that absolutely embarrassing performance on a Sunday at the U.S. Open. 78 and 79 is what you got from the final group at the U.S. Open. Yeah, that's some tremendous golf, USGA. That was pretty impressive. That was gross, Donnie, on so many levels.
I'll tell you the one thing that does pique my interest, because I'm playing a little bit of golf in my past. It's like, all right, you understand, like, there is going to be tough golf courses, and the U.S. Open always does ramp it up. But some things that are a little bit unfair, like the worst case scenario, we've all golfed before. You have some rain on a course with a lot of rough, like, you are just in danger, because number one, the U.S. Open is hard enough to guide the fairways, but now you're not even getting run in the fairways, and you're getting a heavier rough, which compounds it. But I think we can all agree on this. When you're golfing, good country clubs, PGA Tour tracks. Hey, I'm coming up on a par three. Ooh, that's a long one. That's 192. All right, let me get ready for this one. Or, all right, it's 170. I can deal with that. Or how about a 120, 125, or 130? Let me see if I can get this close. When you have like 300-yard par threes, think about that to the common person. A 300-yard par three, like most people are playing that as a par four. That's when I start to think it does get a little bit crazy.
Well, it's the U.S. Open. It's supposed to be that crazy. And, oh, by the way, next year is at Shinnecock. Good luck.
Oh, let's go.
Five over might win next year at Shinnecock. So, and this crop of players, my goodness. I mean, the Rahms, the Rorys of the world, and Scheffler, who missed, I believe it was four or five putts inside 3 feet this week. Absolutely gross. He makes a handful of those, and we're having a totally different conversation about this Open here. The good news is Scheffler was at least putting for birdie on every hole down the stretch. Can't say the same about some of these other guys, including the guy who shot 40 on the front nine and one.
How about that? $4.3 million, J.J. Spawn. And by the way, when you talk Shinnecock Hills, I remember there were times where that golf course got so tough, they had to water the greens in between each group that got up there because of how unfair it was. Bring the carnage there at the U.S. Open. Shinnecock Hills heading back to the New York City area here. Should be a lively crowd at that point. But a U.S. Open champion has been crowned as J.J. Spawn. Rafael Devers, he's crowned the king of San Francisco? What? We'll talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Oh, the shot heard around the world here. Maybe the trade heard around the world. It wasn't J.J. Spaulding yesterday taking down a U.S. Open championship. It wasn't Oklahoma City getting back into a series against the Pacers. It wasn't Brad Marchand looking like he's 25 years old and the best player in hockey. It was the San Francisco Giants 15 minutes before their game saying, "We're just a crowd, Rafael Devers. We don't need our starting pitcher in this game." And oh my goodness, the baseball world erupted yesterday. And if we take a look at the tweet by Robert Murray, the San Francisco Giants are acquiring Rafael Devers from the Boston Red Sox for Jordan Hicks, Kyle Harrison, and more, according to sources familiar with the deal. We knew Rafael Devers was having a tough time in Boston, where you're basically saying, "We don't want you playing here. Can you move positions? Do something else." He starts to seems like 0 for 150, it felt like, and finally finds himself in a groove at the plate, hitting 272, 15 home runs on the season. Now he's shipped to San Francisco. So let's start here. Before we get into the actual doings of the trade itself, Joe, tell me your thoughts when you saw that Rafael Devers was traded last night to the Giants.
I saw passing was the tweet that I saw, and I was like, "That wow, you know, anybody else, I might have scratched my head a little bit, but I'm like, this can't be. Is this serious?" And then you kind of look back over the last couple of months, Donnie, and you're going, you literally had management fly on the road on location to meet with him about this. And he basically told him to, you know what? And from that point on, what is management going to do? Nobody who's paying you $313.5 million is going to hear anything from you. They'll figure out a way to get rid of you, and that's exactly what they did.
Now, let's understand this, too, with the Red Sox. We're not talking about, like, so many times we get angry or let's just say we make jokes about, "Oh, look, Pittsburgh's got a really good player. Well, in 3 years, he'll be in pinstripes. They don't want to pay anybody." You are talking about the Boston Red Sox, Joe, third in line in Forbes magazine of most expensive Major League Baseball franchises. Like, they go from, what, the north of Maine all the way down to Connecticut, a massive region of Red Sox fans here. They sell out every single night at Fenway Park, one of the biggest brands in baseball. They shouldn't be talking about, "Okay, we shed salaries." We'll get that in just a moment here. But when Mookie Betts got traded, Xander Bogaerts left as a free agent, Rafael Devers is now gone. Can you imagine? Aren't you supposed to have these building blocks as franchise guys that are going to stick with you and be legends in town and make you even more money, as opposed to like, "We don't know if we can afford Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts, and boy, we signed Rafael Devers, but I don't like signing this check for 50 whatever odd million dollars per year that we're paying this guy." Talk to me about Boston acting like, "Well, we're going to build for the future." Like New York City, like the Los Angeles Dodgers, you don't build for the future. The future is always now. How do you let these guys go?
Well, and that's the problem. But in defense of the Red Sox, Mookie Betts at the time that was coming up for the contract was not a great situation with the Red Sox ownership. Timing is everything in life, Donnie, right? It was not the right time for Mookie Betts. Xander Bogaerts chose to leave in free agency. So it wasn't like they got rid of him. They just didn't match the money that the Padres were throwing around at everybody. This is much more than just, "We don't want to pay him." Here they actually paid a guy $315 million. The problem is when you pay somebody $315 million, there's an expectation of being the franchise player. Franchise players don't include telling ownership to go, "You know what," and then say, "I'm not playing this position." I think Devers left them no choice but to go, "See you later. This is not the face of the franchise we want moving forward."
It is, because, again, he was the guy in the franchise, and usually it's like they bow to you. Like, don't you remember the New York Yankees? Yeah. Like, A-Rod comes to town. Like, dude, A-Rod is a way better shortstop. Dude is like, I'm the captain. I don't even care. I will be a shortstop. Oh, we'll let it go. And end up winning a World Series in 2009. But like Rafael Devers is the guy on the team. Like, okay, we're going to bring somebody else in. We want you to move. He's like, no. Like, no, we really want you to move. And right away, it upset the start of the season for the Red Sox as he was terrible. But let's look at the get back here also for the Red Sox. Hey, we got six unbelievable prospects and two major league ready pitchers. You get Hicks. The guy's got a 6.5 ERA this year. And Harrison, you take a look at his stats for the past couple years. He's never finished south of 4 in ERA. So that's some of the questions. It's like, what? It was just a salary dump? Like, you didn't even get anything back where you could tell your fans, hey, we got a cornerstone building block. Let's go.
What is it worth, though, Donnie, to cut the cancer out of a locker room that will infect the organization for the next 5 years? Because as they don't win games or don't compete for World Series, Rafael Devers gets worse and less people want to come and play with him. I think they just decided to cut it early as opposed to let it fester, which could very well be what happened in that locker room.
Ah, more Rafael Devers talk. A big trade in Major League Baseball now? Yep, we got you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, the shocking news last night. Were you settling in for a little bit of Sunday night baseball? Looking forward to Kyle Harrison on the mound yesterday. Oh, no, he scratched 15 minutes before the start yesterday. Why? Because Rafael Devers was coming to town here and Harrison was being shipped out of town. And as we told you, Boston is going to receive Kyle Harrison, Jordan Hicks, outfield prospect James Tibbs III, and rookie league right-hander Jose Bello. I want to say, look, can we use Bello on that? Is it Bello at that point here? Going to have to find out. Who knows? He might not be a Major League Baseball Joe for another 5 years, but it happened last night. Understand this. Here were some of the key components that came in, because now it looks like more than, hey, like, we like this guy, but boy, he's going to make so much more money, which is $250 million until 2033, still left on his contract, where it was like, you know what, the big ingredient was not the actual prospects, Joe. It was the fact that San Francisco was going to pay the full freight of that salary and not get any demands from Boston to say, hey, pick up $25, $35, $50, $100 million of that contract. It almost seems to me like, yes, Devers is a great player, but they just wanted to shift that salary and say, we might have made a mistake on the contract. We're going to get out from under it, which is still a terrible look for the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, listen, the optics of it were not good the minute they asked him to play another position and he said no. And the cat was out of the bag at that point. Again, you know, ownership is about leverage. Billionaires are about leverage, Donnie. You give somebody $315 million, they expect you to be a team player. Telling them absolutely not, I don't care what the team needs, I'm not playing it, is not exactly getting your money's worth of the $315 million. So if I'm them, you'd rather cut it sooner rather than later, because if he's a malcontent now, what happens when they're not winning and competing for championships over the next 2 or 3 years into that contract, Donnie? So if you can get somebody to take it off your hands now, yeah, I'll take it for bubblegum.
Yeah, we'll certainly find out what that is. But when you take a look at the depth chart here, obviously for the Boston Red Sox, like Alex Bregman is due to come back soon. And also they brought up a plethora of young, talented players that they feel are going to be the future and should be able to step in. It's just interesting the timing as it went down, because typically, Joe, what happens here, right? You wait towards the trade deadline and you really ramp up with offers. Hey, Devers is on the market. Make me your best offers. So many times we hear that a guy is up on the market, willing to be traded, and it takes a couple weeks for that to happen. But this one just like struck and almost felt like the dead of the night. Like nobody saw this coming and a deal was made, and how crazy it was, because Harrison was supposed to pitch last night and it wasn't scratched like 2 in the afternoon. He was scratched right before he was due to pitch, as almost like, all right, here's the pressure. I'm sending this guy out to the mound. You want to get this deal done or not? And the deal got done. And also the Dodgers picked up a victory yesterday, but that's on the other hand. But the Giants have been playing better baseball. They did need a bat. So from a Giants perspective, I can see why they're excited. Big market team, can afford the contract, desperately needing a bat, and maybe Rafael Devers can be that bat for them.
Well, and my question is, too, How many teams can you pick up the phone and negotiate with to take a $315 million contract, Donnie? It's not like you could have held out for a better deal. You got the Giants, who happen to be now, what, two games behind the Dodgers in the state. Nobody saw that coming. You got Willie Adames. You've got Chapman. You got Robbie Ray. You got Logan Webb. You just don't have any power, certainly from the left-hand side. So Devers' numbers dwarf everybody, the whole team's numbers, when it comes to power. So it's a great move for the Giants. It's a win-now move for the Giants. And for the Red Sox, they found one team to take a $315 million contract, and they jumped on it.
And by the way, these weren't panic moves either, right? Like, we weren't like, oh, my goodness, this is the last deal I could take before the deadline. You look at the Red Sox, 37-36, which might not seem great here, but how about five straight wins, eight of their past 10, playing really good baseball and knocking off the Yankees? Then you take a look at the San Francisco Giants, who have now lost two in a row, but before that, streaking as well. So these two teams almost on like the fly saying, we're having a good season, at least right now here. Let's see if we can energize this team. The younger energy now that comes in with the Boston Red Sox and an extra bat for the San Francisco Giants. So if we take a look at some pricing right now, we still have a long way to go in the Major League Baseball season. How about to make the playoffs, the Giants at a minus 170 price and the Red Sox at a plus 190 price? Talking about this season, could this jumpstart the Giants here? Could this be a good thing for the locker room for the Boston Red Sox, as you've been stating here, that this trade could actually be a catalyst for both of these teams possibly making the playoffs this year?
Listen, I think time will tell, and you mentioned Alex Bregman will be back. They've got, and if I'm a Red Sox fan, I am so happy that they're finally bringing up the young guys, you know, the studs that are supposed to be in the future organization. Now's the time, right? Are they going to compete for a World Series? Likely not, but they're certainly going to make it fun. Can this be a win-win? Absolutely can be a win-win. What have the Dodgers shown us to believe that this is a 110-win team and the Giants should just pack it in along with everyone else in the West here? They're two games behind them at this point here, and now they've got one of the best power hitters in the game in that lineup. Giants are, yeah, they're in it to win it, and they're in to win it now.
I like it. I do like the move, but also funny too, because it just shows you how much money's involved in baseball and ownership of a team where it doesn't matter what you do. Like, if you are a general manager, obviously with a contract the size of Devers, it has to be okayed by the front office, meaning the ownership groups. Because yeah, go ahead, I'll assign those dollars to that. But you lose so big in the Mookie Betts trade where the fan base was so angry. Devers was coming up for a contract. It was almost like he was in the right spot at the right time, knowing that if Devers just walked out the door for nothing, they would have burnt Fenway Park down at that point. So it's like, we have to sign the guy. Hopefully it works well. And, you know, a year or so into the deal, it's like, this really isn't working out in our favor. Let's move him here. So maybe you can credit them for being proactive, but also at the same time, whack him on the back of the head for saying, like, what did you sign the guy for anyway? You should have just moved him when he had extreme value and was still under team control at that point. We'll find out later in the season to see if it works, but that's not the only trade that went down last night. I'm getting, look, baffling trades at certain times. Joe, let me ask you this question. In the NBA, you're allowed to make trades while the season is still going on in the playoffs? Because I even hit the Google search, like, are you allowed to do that? And it goes, no, you can't make that trade after the trade deadline. You have to wait till the end of the season. So baffled me. And what were we talking about now? How about Shams Charania? A tweet came through. The Memphis Grizzlies are trading Desmond Bane to the Orlando Magic for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Cole Anthony, four unprotected first-round picks, and one first-round pick swap. A massive deal in the NBA. Bane goes from Memphis to Orlando. What are your thoughts on that when you saw that go down?
Listen, you and I discussed it earlier. You can give a team 14 number one draft picks. Unless they're in the top two, it doesn't matter. They mean absolutely nothing. You have a Magic team that ranked last in three-point percentage this year. They just traded and got a guy that's a career 41% shooter from three. He can also play defense, which fits into the mold of this team here. I think it's a win situation for Orlando all day. I love Desmond Bane. I think it's going to be great for them and Boncaro and Wagner. He does a little bit of everything, and they didn't have to give up a lot to get him.
You know, you bring up a good point on that, too, because as we're looking at, well, what does Orlando actually do? It's a building team. They eventually think they might be able to compete for a championship. But it was so painful watching this team grow and say they just can't score the basketball. So to get a guy who's elite at knocking down jumpers, you know what that does for Paolo Banchero and the rest of the team? Opens up the entire court. Because when you have a guy that can shoot daggers from three-point range, you have to extend your defense, which means extra chances and lanes to get to the hoop. But let me ask you this question on this as well. Like, we're talking about, like, Orlando. I like the deals. Like, KCP was doing, what do you do, Joe? All your cardio? 5 points a game? Like, this guy was supposed to be a known scorer, not scoring anything. Call Anthony decent player and the four picks that we'll talk about in just a bit. But what happens with Memphis now? Like, Memphis was supposed to have that good young team here, Ja Morant, Desmond Bane. That's our backcourt. Let's build on it. Now he's gone. So the question's going to be, and we'll build on this into the next segment, what happens with Ja Morant? Like, what's Memphis's game here?
Well, I mean, you're talking about a team now that is, what, its third first-round playoff exit in 5 years here. Plus, they got rid of Taylor Jenkins before, 2 weeks before the postseason. And your star player is a train wreck. Yeah, it's not good for Memphis. They gotta have a serious come-to-Jesus meeting here and figure out what is the direction of this team, and is Ja Morant really the guy?
Yeah, no, there's going to be a lot of questions, because usually this move would signify a changing of the guard in Memphis, and maybe that's Ja Morant. We're also going to talk about some other trade scenarios in the NBA. The NBA hotter off the court than on it? Come on back with us right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Joe Ranieri, Donnie Wrightside here. The Hot Topics. My goodness, what a weekend it has been. And also, what a week is it going to be? We have unbelievable NBA action tonight on the court that we'll talk about just a little bit later. The Pacers ingrained in a great series here so far with the OKC Thunder. But as we saw a trade that went down, it's like, okay, Memphis is making a move here, going to move some guys here, Desmond Bane, and going over to Orlando. Orlando's going to trade back draft picks. And you get the point, like, wow, that's interesting. That wasn't the trade that we even expected if a trade could go down. It was Kevin Durant, and where is he going to go here, Joe? So we'll take a look at a series of Sham Sharania tweets here that sort of explain the scenario and give us some updates here. The Miami Heat, San Antonio Spurs, and Houston Rockets are 15 times off. Hold on, let me repeat this. The Miami Heat, San Antonio Spurs, and Houston Rockets are 15-time All-Star. Come on, man. You got to word that better, Sham Sharania. Preferred trade destination outside of Phoenix. Sources tell ESPN. Those across the NBA have made aware in recent days that those are the three teams that Durant would commit to long-term. And again, keep in mind, long-term, what's that mean? 2 years at this point? Second tweet here from Sham Sharania following that up. Durant is on an expiring $54.7 million deal for 25-26, and the Suns have made clear to 6 to 8 seriously interested teams that they will make the best deal for the franchise, even outside of his preferred list of Miami, San Antonio, and Houston. So let's start here. Kevin Durant, we've known it for just about the entire season. He will be out in Phoenix. He's not a free agent, but will demand a trade, and the Suns are probably looking to move him out of town. So when you look at Kevin Durant, and the NBA is a unique sport, the superstar player drives this. I don't want to go here. I want to go here. I don't want to go this place. I'd rather go to that place. The only time it's really changed, Joe, in the past couple of years was, right, Damian Lillard's like, I'm not playing again unless I go to Miami, and he wound up in Milwaukee at that point. So for Kevin Durant, on where he wants to go, let's start here. Where do you think he wants to go and why?
I don't know that he'll have a choice, though, ultimately, at the end. I find it ironic that, listen, we have known that the Phoenix Suns, he's been on the trade market since at least February, right? And then we heard that the Suns had a deal in place with the Golden State Warriors, and he didn't want to go. He was like, I don't want to go back to Golden State. So, okay, so apparently he's got leaking the shams here that he's got three teams in mind. Now we're hearing Minnesota. Now we're hearing New York. We don't know. The Suns have not confirmed what the 6 to 8 teams are that are interested. But he's a 37-year-old player on his way out of the league, not on the way up. So I don't know that he might either have to stay in Phoenix because, like you said, he's under contract. He might not land where he wants to go or be very happy at 37. It all depends, I think, on what he wants to do. I'm not sure the market is that big for a 37-year-old Kevin Durant.
And let's take a look at, like, Kevin Durant's career. You can almost mirror it sort of to LeBron James, right? You say to yourself, all right, I'm going to start in Cleveland. I can't get it done here. Nobody wants to come to Cleveland. I need to win a championship at all costs. Leaves Cleveland, puts together a super team in Miami, and gets the championships. That's it. I don't think anybody, oh, so I can't believe he couldn't do it at Cleveland. Like, understand this. You want to win a championship so bad, you'll do it at all costs. He did that. Kevin Durant with OKC, and people were so angry with LeBron James for leaving, and the same thing with Kevin Durant. I can't believe you're in OKC. You're so close to winning a championship and feel like, I can't get it done here. I need a championship, and then joins the dark side, which at the time was the Golden State Warriors, and wins multiple championships. But how come, Joe, like, ego always gets involved here? Could you imagine, and again, unlimited funds in Golden State. They were paying everybody, you know, whoever was a superstar there, you want to stay here, we will eat the luxury tap, we'll go to the third apron, it doesn't matter. And Kevin Durant's like, I'm not getting enough credit for these championships here. I got to do it by myself, and leaves Golden State to go to the New Jersey, the Nets, again, moving to Brooklyn Nets, I should say, and they were bad. And now he goes to Phoenix. I want to, and they're bad here. So if you're looking from Miami, San Antonio, and Houston, like, what are you actually getting from an aging Kevin Durant? That's not the missing piece to the puzzle in Miami.
It's a rental at best, right? I mean, I think coming up, Donnie, he is going to be eligible for another 2-year, $120 million extension. He can't stay healthy at this point in his career. He's not going to be an MVP candidate anymore like he has been. So 37, 38, and 39. So 2 or 3 year deal with any team, you're going to be paying him till he's 39 years old. Again, there's a handful of teams that will throw the money at him, but like he did with Golden State, he could just tell them, like, Jimmy, I'm not playing for you. I don't care. I'm not playing for you. I am sure Toronto would make a pitch for him. Does he want to go to Toronto? They can afford him. This is all about Kevin Durant and what he thinks is going to give him the best chance to be a star again and to compete for a championship.
It's crazy, too, because you're right about this. Like, he's 37, and if you get him, you're going to have to give up a lot of assets here. And he goes, oh, yeah, by the way, this season I make $55 million. But before I even go there, I want the 2-year extension on top of that, which means 3 years and even extend. So what are we talking about? $170 million or so dollars over 3 years here where he's not in his prime anymore? Now, granted, he still had a good season last year. You take a look at his statistics, right? 26.6 points per game, 6 rebounds, 4 assists over 62 games. We're not saying, like, he can't play. But if I'm San Antonio, Joe, like, I'm building for the future. Wembanyama is my guy, and I'm saying, you know what? Let's build this thing the right way. In 2 to 3 years, we're going to cut down the Nets as NBA champions. Or even Houston, which was so good this year, got bounced in the playoffs. So, okay, that's a learning curve for us. Like, when I say, like, Kevin Durant isn't coming to town to say, awesome, young team, let me mentor you. He's coming to town to say, give me the basketball. This is my team. I'm going to try to lead this thing. And the only time that worked well was in Golden State with 4 other Hall of Famers on that team. Like, this isn't the move I want to make. Like, if it was like Minnesota, who has a high payroll already, you know what? Our last gasp effort here to try to win a championship, we got to add Kevin Durant. Or heck, even the New York Knicks with a veteran-laden team, let's add another veteran, let's see if we can do it. I just don't feel like San Antonio and Houston, for me, is a good spot for Kevin Durant because it's a young and growing team. We're not at the pinnacle just yet. And Kevin Durant's like, I'm going to be the alpha dog here, Joe.
Well, and listen, the Suns are going to do what's best for the Suns. Yep. They have absolutely no reason to accommodate what Durant wants. So whatever the market dictates, As long as the Suns are agreeable to it, the Suns will do it. They have to look out for themselves. He hasn't been a Sun long enough to where they're going to, you know, lay down and do whatever they want. Absolutely not. It's up to the Suns at this point.
Yeah, put the 35 in the rafters, Durant. We're going to retire his jersey before he leaves town for all the good that he did in the Valley at this point. Oh, boy, the NBA. So much fun. But guess what? It's another game in the NBA Finals tonight. That's Three Racket next right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
NBA action. It is absolutely fantastic. And who would have thought that we'd even get to a game five, let alone a game six, with the possibility for a game number seven? The Indiana Pacers and the Oklahoma City Thunder are going to do battle tonight from OKC. But let's start here now, because you were taking a look at, and I really liked it, Joe. We did the show last week and we wound up. It's like, okay, game this weekend. Let's see what happens. And I really liked the fact that OKC was in one of those spots like they can't lose tonight. And boy, if you were just reading that line, -5.5, -6, as a favorite towards OKC after losing game number three in Indianapolis, this is wild. I said, just go with my gut. I like the six, and I'm going to take the under at this point. Watching that game as it played out, I'm like, oh my goodness, Joe. Are the Pacers actually the better team? A furious comeback in the fourth quarter, which handed OKC not only the win, but the cover, and the game stayed under. And now as we re-rack the series itself with the FanDuel Sportsbook, the Thunder in control again, even though the series is tied, at a -520 price, and the Pacers as the underdog at 4-1. Give me your thoughts after game number four, and now seeing those prices readjust themselves massively back over to the Thunder.
Well, let me just say this, Dottie, and I've been saying this from the start. I don't ever remember a situation in an NBA final where one team comes in massively overvalued, taking on a team that has been massively undervalued in the marketplace, and there's no in between. This is a series that has always been made for zigzagging because of that undervaluing with the Pacers. Hey, listen, the problem for me is my feeling watching that last game was I just watched the Pacers lose the NBA championship when they lost that game in the final 3 minutes. That's what it felt like. They had an opportunity to go up 3-1 and essentially stick a dagger in this OKC team. And instead, the MVP, SGA, shows up and they had no answer for him. And Scott Foster also showed up. But besides that, it felt like I watched the end of the Indiana Pacers chase for an NBA title in that last game.
31-17, fourth quarter close here for the Thunder. You expected that defense to rise to the occasion, and it finally did. Now, obviously, this series cannot end in five games, which will take place tonight, because each one of these teams has two victories. But if we do look at the series price here on when this series is going to finish, game six is the favorite here, Joe. At a -134 price, to get the seven games is a +110. So again, winner or loser tonight, we're still going to get another game. Also, take a look at this. Do you think that we are going seven, or did OKC just say, all right, we got this game plan now. We're coming home. We'll handle our business. And we've already shown you we can win in your own building. We'll close you out in six games. Does this go to seven games, Joe, in your mind?
I think it does, but ultimately that seventh game has got to land back in OKC, and that's stacked up against them there. Had they won game four, and they had led by as many as 10 in that game at home, then home court, I think, would have held serve here, and they would have had a chance to close it out in game six. As it is, I think OKC gets this one. I think Indiana can win game six at home and ultimately game seven, and OKC is big advantage OKC.
To be honest, like, I've really been enjoying this series. And quite frankly, I was like, man, we can't get a sweep here, because we add into these months, Joe, like, we cherish, like, okay, NBA, please extend your series. NHL, please extend your series, because we're going to have months and months, it feels like, of just Major League Baseball, which I love, but you love the other sports colliding with each other. So now as we take a look at the NBA Finals odds here on the FanDuel Sportsbook, it's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at a minus 550 price. No surprise, they're heavy favorites in the series. He dropped 35 on the road in game number four, was tremendous there, specifically in the clutch in the fourth quarter, followed by Pascal Siakam, Tyrese Halliburton, Williams at 36-1. So looking at these odd prices here, is it SGA for you where you just take that, or still, you know what, maybe the Pacers can come back. Maybe it's Siakam now who moved ahead of Halliburton at 9-1. How do we look at these odds here as an odds check on the FanDuel Sportsbook?
Yeah, it's SGA's to lose, but it's a popularity contest. And, you know, him winning, he basically saved Oklahoma City's season in that final 3 minutes of game four. It was all him. There was nobody else involved for OKC. It was all him. So to me, it's his to lose, but I don't see him losing it anytime soon.
Like, there were so many clutch shots made in this series already through four games, but even the crate, like, late in the game, you're down 4 points, and SGA is not really a three-point shooter by volume, per se. Knocks down that triple when they were down 4 points to give life back to them as they sort of close down the stretch, and that's the sign of a champion. Like, you can be up against it here, and that's what we're waiting on. Number one overall seed in the playoffs, most wins in the regular season. They should be able to easily move through the Pacers, but I think what you said was really accurate. One of the not overrated, expectations were high for OKC. Nobody was talking about the pace coming into the NBA playoffs, let alone the NBA Finals. And here we are, tied up in that series. We'll look at the Game 5 odds and also another championship series. It's hour number two right here on The Early Line, coming up next.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.